Glenn is listening on EWTN. Glenn, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Would you like to share why are you an atheist or agnostic with Trent Horn?
Well, the first thing I wanted to bring up, quack, quack, is I hear all the ducks in Omaha are going to be protesting with
That's
Trent Horn.
Mean.
Hey, I felt bad. It's not like I was like, I got you, duck. The whole point was that there was a legitimate reason to feel I have a moral duty to these fair non-human creatures.
These ducks have a mind of their own, so to speak.
It's a limited mind if you've ever met a duck, but yeah, they have.
Sure. So Glenn, do tell us. So why are you an atheist or an agnostic?
So, the thing I was bringing up the screener is that I believe that human experience can explain the so-called moral standard of what's right and wrong. And just allow me one second. I mean, it could be thousands of years ago or tens of thousands of years ago, you know, two tribes were fighting. One maybe had more water, one maybe had more food, and they fought over the possessions of the other. And in the process, the entire close family of both of these tribes were killed. And as a result of that, the tribe sat down and decided it was better to go diplomatic means rather than through war. And it's through thousands and thousands and thousands of years and years of experience like this that the human race has come up with what you call it, a moral standard or right and wrong. And it may vary because the experiences may vary. So you brought it up
sure.
in certain cultures. Certain things are allowed that might not be allowed in this culture. But I don't think there's a outside moral standard created by a god that is necessary to do that. So that was my first point I wanted to bring up. And as I know that lady earlier today was talking about that too.
Sure. And I would agree with you, Glenn, that through history, human beings have come to learn what contributes to our flourishing and what detracts from it. So I believe people can come to learn through experience what is helpful, what is harmful, and oftentimes call the helpful good and the harmful bad or evil, but it's not purely exhaustive in that way. That yes, as humans, we can understand when you murder, rape, kill, societies go to war, that destabilizes things. It's not good for anyone. It's better to live a quiet and tranquil life, so to speak. However, what you're describing is that over time, humans can discover not necessarily what is right or wrong. They do discover that, but through the process you've described, they discover what contributes to survival as a species and what detracts from it. Now, the problem I have here is that what contributes to our survival and detracts from it is not identical to that which is morally good and morally evil. They're not the same thing. For example, you know, imagine you're stuck in a lifeboat with somebody adrift at sea, and you're not sure how long before you get rescued, and you're worried you're going to starve to death, and your lifeboat mate is fast asleep, and you think, well, I'm going to starve to death, but I could survive if I wonk him over the head and I eat this guy, basically, which is something maritime sailors in the 19th century did, and actually ended up going to the courts over. So there, you see where you could have a choice between survival or just letting yourself die, which I think, would you say that the choosing to not kill the guy is the right thing, even though you give up your own survival in that case?
Well, before I answer that, I mean, you defined what I was talking about as right or wrong or moral standard is the ability to survive. I would dispute that. So I think it makes your example.
How would you define morality then?
I just define it as human experience.
Same thing, because when I go and walk through a field of dandelions, I have an experience, but that's not morality.
Well, for me it is. See, I think human experience. I think you know you're trying to create an entity that I'm saying does not exist. Because if I allow that entity of morality or right or wrong to exist, then it opens up your argument for help. So I'm saying human experience is the morality, and that's what people genetically or through what the
So hold on a sec, Glenn. You define morality as just human experience?
Well, I'm not defining morality at all. You're the one that's defining morality.
Well, but in order for us to talk about it, I think we have to understand what it is. Wouldn't you agree?
I'm not caring to talk about it. I'm saying I have replaced what you're calling morality with human experience.
But I think that you're incorrect in that point. That would be like saying
You're incorrect. Yeah, and I think you're incorrect in creating an entity known as morality or right or wrong so that you can thereby posit a God. I'm not argumentative about this. I'm just saying you said I was incorrect, and I'm saying you're incorrect. So I think we can probably both agree to disagree.
Well, I don't agree with that. We're at an impasse on that.
I know you don't agree with it, and I don't agree with it.
Well, Glenn, calm down. Slow down a minute, Glenn. That we can have a discussion about this, and I think we're at a very interesting branch in our discussion, that we have to figure out what is the nature of morality. I think people agree that that term morality is a meaningful one. It refers to something. I've defined it as a standard of objective facts that relate to how humans ought to treat other beings or other humans. And you seem to object that, well, you know, that definition bodes well for your argument that there's a God who created this system. And I actually agree with you. But then where our argument would proceed is you'd have to show, one, there's something wrong with my definition, and I'd enjoy hearing what's wrong with it, which I think is a very common sense definition. Morality is just about how creatures that understand right and wrong ought to relate to one another and how they ought to behave. And so I'd like to hear what's wrong with that, why it's incorrect. And then, two, I think that if you're going to talk about that morality is a meaningful term, it's got to have some kind of definition, and I think just saying it's human experience doesn't really succeed. So why don't we just start? Do you think there's anything wrong with my definition that morality is about how creatures that understand right and wrong ought to relate to one another and how they ought to act? Do you think there's something wrong with that definition?
Well, it's the definition of a word that I don't agree to. I don't agree to. It's the concept of morality. We can all define Bigfoot. I heard you define it earlier. I don't believe Bigfoot exists. And I can listen to a show tonight on TV, and there's a whole bunch of people that believe Bigfoot exists. So,
right, but we have to define it, because if you define Bigfoot as just a 6-foot-tall, hairy, smelly guy, I'm sure there's lots of big feet out there. I can think of lots of 6-foot-tall, smelly, hairy guys. But if you let me continue. So that's a very vague definition that includes much more than a mysterious primate in the Oregon woods. Similar for me to how, if you define morality as just human experience, well, I don't think that succeeds, because lots of things we experience, we have human experiences that don't fall under the realm of morality. When I have a dream, for example, at night, that's a human experience, but I don't do good. My actions in a dream are not good or evil, because I don't have control over them. So I think that we need to have the narrower definition of morality to sensibly talk about it. And when we have that narrower definition, I think it naturally leads to a kind of transcendent grounding for morality, which would be in the perfect act of goodness itself, or what we call God.